and welcome into the first edition of the All Ball Podcast. Here talking LL Hoops with Andrew Callahan and John Buffone. Here breaking down what has been about the quarter pole of the season so far, with what surprises, what has not, and where we want to be coming next week. As I mentioned, joining me now is John Buffone. John, how are we doing with the season about 2+ weeks now in?
It's hard to believe that we're already this far into the season, but you're starting to see some of the section races forming. You're starting to see who's starting to rise to the top a little bit, although there's a lot of season left, so there's plenty of time for some of these teams that are lower in the rankings to make a late run.
Yeah, and as we start to look at the standings, which again are going to take shape, and much more importantly down the road, there are already some pretty big gaps that have been established, and for me, this leads into my first surprise of the season, which, you know, it's tough to say because, you know, you always expect them to be competitive, but right atop Section 2 right now is Lebanon at 3-0 in league play, 4-1 overall, and that one loss, you know, as confirmed by video, really shouldn't have even happened in a phenomenal game against Elko. And the Raiders and the Cedars are the surprises to me. I mean, we expected them to be good. Elko's undefeated at 6-0, both of them leading their sections, and they've got real shots to win both Section 2 and Section 3.
Oh, you look at Section 2, Lebanon already has a pretty good lead on it. Solanco being 0-3 in this.
Everybody else is
actually 0-3, so they have a really nice cushion there. That's definitely the spot you want to be in as the at this point of the season. If you go into what my surprise is, you go up to Section 1, and there's not a real surprise in the top three with Hemphill, Cedar Crest, and McCaskey. Township currently, in last with a 3-3 overall record, 2-1 in league play, but they would be my surprise because Matt Johns, a former coach at Columbia, took over that program. He got a late start. He got the job in October, and this week they had a win over Conestoga Valley in which they were down 14 points in the first half, and then they get a game-winning three-pointer from David DeMeo, basically as time expires. And the reason they're surprising me is because Matt Johns is one of my favorite coaches in the LL. You saw what he did with the Columbia team, where they're the smallest team in the LL, and he turned that team into a gritty, no excuse, go out to win every night, no matter
who
you're going
contender.
To. They made it to the district finals. They won their first state their state playoff game in almost 20 years under him, and he's trying to bring that mentality to Township, and one of the things that I love about him is he's brutally honest about where his team is at, and he's brutally honest about what it seems like with his players. He said, "We may not be a good team right now." He's like, "We're certainly not a good shooting team," but he finds out what they do well, and they try to do it as well as they can. Especially, or even on the game-winning play that they had against Conestoga Valley, he looked at the replay. He's like, "Man, we didn't run that right." and that's on the game-winning shot. He's like, "We didn't run that right." So he's a perfectionist. He loves basketball. And I think in maybe 2 years, maybe 3 years, you're going to see Township not necessarily as a cellar dweller in Section 1 anymore.
Well, I think the interesting part of that, too, is that they were one of those teams that Lebanon has knocked off. Lebanon, as I mentioned, 3-0 in league play. Those are all against Section 1 teams, albeit the current bottom dwellers of Section 1 with Warwick, Penn, Manor, and Township. But they went into Township, you know, got a good lead with a big second quarter and then held on throughout. They still got to see the likes to Hemphill, Crest, and McCaskey sit at the top. But Lebanon, for me, I think what impresses me most is, of course, they're well coached under Tim Spiroff, but the quickness. There's that factor of which you lace up against a team and there are some elements you can just do nothing about.
Yeah.
That's what you can't do anything about with the Cedars. They're going to move the ball very quickly offensively, give you lots of problems in the backcourt on defense. And I think as they start to establish more of a low post presence, sophomore Felix Courtright has really stepped up for them, as well as Alan Escato and now Shaq Ortiz, who was arguably their best player, returning, at least on paper, coming into the season, is now back with the team. They're a team to really watch out for, a top Section 2. I wouldn't expect that to change, but the way in which they've done it, because again, they should be undefeated, has been really impressive. And that ties in down to Section 3, where Elko at 6-0. I mean, they've had the same team essentially for the last 3 years, really come into fruition. Mason Boster dropping 30 points the other night. Caleb Bookmoyer can't miss from three. And then Colton Lawrence, who had more than 20 points in his first four games. You just can't stop. I mean, when you look at Section 3, you know, I talked about, I think Lebanon's going to stay atop Section 2 for the rest of the season. Who do you think is most likely to knock the Raiders off from their current spot atop?
Well, you look at, you know, LS brings a lot of people back. They got an experienced team. But, you know, sometimes in high school basketball, if you have that one, transcendent seems to be a little bit too extreme of a word. But if you have...
I think we know who you're talking about, though.
If you have a straight-up score like Kokalico does and Tucker Lesko, sometimes that can push you over the edge whenever you get into these intense games where, you know, there's a lot on the line. That's when the best players surface. And I would say Kokalico has a pretty good shot because they have someone in Tucker Lesko and a supporting cast to shine in those big moments. But if you're going to ask me who I like, so in this section, it's going to be Elko.
Yeah, and it's tough because we're actually going to see Elko and Kokalko showdown in a couple of days here coming up. So one of those teams is no longer going to be undefeated overall and in section play. They'll of course meet once again back in Myerstown later on this season. Now Elko girls met with Lancaster Catholic in a 3-4 crossover matchup the other night. Ugly game for the Elko girls, but they seem to have a good core coming back this season. And that was one of the things that didn't surprise you, though, that Lancaster Catholic girls are going to be right in the mix. And for me, I think Elko is a team that could surprise and still could, but for now, among the things that we're going to switch from surprise to, this is what we expected. Lancaster Catholic girls are right up there.
They are really good. Caroline Scarf, the senior forward, got her 1,000th point against Elko. She needed 6, she got 7. But she didn't play a lot of the second half because they ended up winning by almost 50 points. So that team is going to be very hard to beat. They got a freshman in Kiki Henderson, who is one of the best girls players I've seen since I took this job in Central PA. She's tall. She's long arms. She had a block that would make... I saw it and I was like, I can't believe that just happened. She elevated so high off the floor and smacked that ball that I think has not landed yet. And it was unbelievable to see. So they have a lot of talent. They have talent on the inside. They and the typical Lancaster Catholic, even with the new coach Charlie Detz, second year coach I should say, all they do is press. They press so many. Elko had 17 turnovers in the first half.
Yeah.
So all they do is generate turnovers. They get points in transition, and they just run and run and run until their opponents are so tired by halftime that they start waving the white flag. So that's going to be a really, really hard team to beat in Section 4. Very impressed by the Lady Crusaders.
The team that, to me, has fulfilled our expectations moving up from Section 4 to Section 3 in terms of the girls has been Northern Lebanon. It's a team captained by Zoe Zerman. They brought a lot of veteran leadership back, and I think they've got a good core coming back, which should be a competitive section. But the thing for me that stuck out is, you know, A, they won their tip-off tournament. They immediately went on the road just days after and had a big, decisive win. And now they've come back and really handled their business well in league play. So you see a lot of different situations in which that excels, and that tells me that's a team that can excel moving down the road in different circumstances, be them postseason, in districts, or leagues, and should be just okay. I mean, one of the bigger threats in the county, at least, is going to be Lebanon Catholic on that level, who they dispatched of at home with a big third quarter. And I think the Vikings have really fulfilled those expectations from the girls' side and haven't been a big surprise, but it's a team to watch for. You know, even I mentioned that tip-off tournament, Palmyra lost a lot, as most Final Four teams do from a year ago. Right. But they still bring back that same tenacity what Ron Berman has going with the Cougars. And Northern Lebanon really handled them. I mean, Pat Huggins, you know, we work with, was up there at that game, and he came away very impressed. So I think for the girls' side, that's just about what we expected. For me and the boys' side of what we expected coming in that has unfolded just as we mentioned, I already hit upon this earlier, moving back to Section 1 for the boys, Hempfield, Creston, McCaskey all at 3-0. That's going to change immediately because Creston and McCaskey are going to go head-to-head tomorrow night. And I think we're still learning about these teams, but even still with all of the turnover, that they're right there where we expected. I don't know if you want to declare any one of them the favorite. I saw Crest last night, and it was kind of a rough game, but they gutted it out against CV. But it's going to be really interesting for me because even the picture that we might get tomorrow in McCaskey, mm-hmm. or even further down the road when Crest takes on Hempfield, is going to change by the time league playoffs come, and it's going to be a matter of who can still grow most over the season.
Yeah, I don't know if you can take too much away from the Friday game. I mean, it's a good barometer. I mean, if it's a 50-point blowout one way or the other, then that's going to give you a pretty good idea. But the fact that this section is a logjam is no surprise whatsoever. Hempfield with a triple overtime win over Solanco last night. I mean, talk about a gritty performance. Those aren't the prettiest of wins. I mean, it involved a 4-point play to tie the game from Solanco to send the game into overtime. So I don't want to say you have a definitive favorite in here right now. All three of those teams have playmakers. Kobe Ganson, McCaskey, and obviously Evan Horn, Cedar Crest are the two big names there. It's just going to be interesting to see how it plays out because it's almost impossible to say a certain team has an inside track right now. But it's going to be fun to watch, no doubt, especially with the first glance we get whenever Cedar Crest and McCaskey meet on Friday.
And that leads us into our final segment, from the surprises to what unfolded just as we expected. And now, where do we want to be next week? Because we've got, you know, the first quarter poll, which is always exciting. Hoops are back. We're starting to learn about these teams. But in the grand scheme of things, this means the least. And now we head into the section matchups, and we'll get a few more crossovers later on. But where do we want to be this week? I'm going to be there, thankfully. You know, I think we, as media members, get to choose where we want to go. Chris McCaskey tomorrow night down in Lancaster, I think, is going to be a big matchup that we will learn at least a little bit about both teams now that they face, you know, the quality of competition. Crest still undefeated at 4-0, McCaskey at 4-1. And then later on, for me, it'll be the same Crest team against Hempfield we'll see on Monday back at home, because it's a different style team. Didn't lose as much as the Red Tornado did. But those are two games where I think if you are an LL League fan, you just can't miss.
Yeah, and I'm interested in actually Cedar Crest game on Saturday against Central York, because after an emotional game like McCaskey, sometimes you can let your guard down. Let's say either way, whether it's a big emotional win or it's kind of a bad loss, this is a team, they always want to beat McCaskey no matter what. I mean, that's a rivalry. Now, can you recharge yourself in less than 12 hours, 24 hours to get back in the right frame to say that we're okay, now we're hosting Central York, we have got to be able to handle business? And then right. I think that's going to be, you and I are actually going to be there. We're calling the game for GameTimePA.com.
You can shameless watch, plug coming alert.
Yeah, get ready, because I'm going to shamelessly plug this. You can watch the game on GameTimePA.com and listen to our melodiously beautiful voices call the game.
Well, don't sell us short now.
So, I'm a humble guy. But, yeah, I think that's going to be interesting to see how Cedar Crest handles that after a big game with McCaskey just the night before.
And, you know, we've been heavy on the Falcons here to date, but, of course, Friday is going to unfold a lot of big games, like I said, as we return to section play. Elko and Cocalico are going to meet. Lebanon's got to go through its section two games, which it's great to be undefeated right now, but you'd figure that's going to change within league play. So, like you mentioned, pushing Hempfield to the brink, that'll be a tough game for them coming up.
Also, Lancaster Mennonite and Lancaster Catholic are going to meet. It's going to be a very interesting matchup. Two teams, you know, that have run Section 4 for the most part for the last couple years. You know, Mennonite still trying to figure out how to replace those 50 points a game from Julian Collazo and Mark Hall from last year. They're on the, I don't want to say they're rebuilding because they're not that kind of team, but they're still trying to find their identity. Lancaster Catholic looking pretty good with a couple big wins so far, so that'll be an interesting game to check out as well.
Yeah, I think there's a lot still to be determined. This is the nature of the season, but what's unfolded so far has been very exciting. And honestly, you really could not go wrong with many more games in the next couple of weeks with section play returning, because you get into that old adage of, you know, when rivals meet, which we're going to have a couple showing up, you just throw the records out the window. And right now, those records are very small, so that holds true as much as ever. So that will just about do it here for the first ever episode of the All Ball Podcast, breaking down LL Hoops with Game Time PA's John Buffone and yours truly, Andrew Callahan, of the Lebanon Daily News in Game Time PA. We'll see you next time.